Arkham Asylum for the Criminally Insane, Gotham City, April the 1st, 1:45 a.m.
Hey, D.
Maximum security.
Dr. Destiny, whatever your name is. You awake?
Always.
Day shift should have brought you this.
Huh?
But they, told you, right?
Why?
Oh. Dr. Huntoon said to tell you your mother's croaked. She's dead.
Mother?
She wanted you to have this. Catch.
Thank you, Mother. It's just what I always wanted.
Seriously. An eyeball on a bracelet.
An amulet. Do you want to see how it works? Come closer to the bars.
The Sandman. Passengers.
Arkham Asylum is never quiet at night. The best the night security team can do to block out the distant screaming is to take turns off duty at the security station, watching whatever TV is available.
All you late night Gothamites.
Good evening, fellow tourists. I think this proves that in some ways the airplane can never replace the train.
Hey, Johnson. You on your own?
Yeah, Bracken's doing the 2 a.m. perimeter.
Where's Hume?
Dr. D got something in the mail. Day shift forgot to take it down, so Hume did.
Gifts have to be cleared with Huntoon.
Yeah, it was just a weird piece of jewelry, man. An eyeball or something.
Either way, Hume shouldn't go down there on his own. Can you see anything on the monitors?
Nah, all quiet.
I'll go down. Take a look in on D anyway.
Take a radio.
Copy that.
John Dee, once known as the criminal scientist Dr. Destiny, wasn't always a criminal. But his genius led him to create the Materiopticon, a device which allowed him to create reality from the fabric of dreams. This, powered by the ruby his mother gave him, stolen from the Lord of Dreams, pushed him over the edge. Now he creeps, almost bent double, past the security station, his footfalls covered by the sound of the TV set. It helps that his feet are bare. So is the rest of him. This is his preferred condition, since he was captured and interred at Arkham by the Justice League International. In one disfigured hand, he clutches a handgun, worn until a while ago by the late and unfortunate security guard, Hume. In the other, for protection, the eyeball amulet his mother, Ethel Cripps, also purloined from the collection of her lover, Ruth Van Sykes, who in turn was given it by the demon Beelzebub.
Yeah, what's on Channel 6?
Easy now. The dining hall has the window with the broken catch. Easy.
Hume? Bracken?
Close. Quietly through. God. God.
Huh? Surprise! It's only me.
Dr. Crane. Jonathan.
Now, don't tell anybody else about this.
You're hanging yourself?
There's nothing like a good hanging to scare people witless. Fear of pain is algophobia. I don't know what fear of hanging is called. But when they come, I'll stick out my tongue and I'll be white as a sheet and they'll all look up at me hanging here and then I'll go... April Fool.
Very well.
You're the doctor, aren't you? Some people are afraid of doctors. It's called iatrophobia. Dr. Destiny. Yes. Aren't you meant to be locked up downstairs?
Shh. You mustn't tell anyone. I'm escaping. My mother died.
Oh.
She gave me her amulet. It keeps people safe from things. She told me that. She gave me my ruby, too. But now she's dead. Shall I tell you what I'm going to do?
Oh, tell me. Tell me.
I'm going to get the ruby back. The materiopticon. And then I'll drive everybody in the whole wide world mad, and then they'll make me king.
It sounds scary. Have a nice time. And you must promise when you get back to tell me all about it.
You don't understand. I'm going to rule the world. Or destroy it. I'm not coming back.
Yes, yes. But we always come back here. It's so scary outside. If you see the Joker, tell him to hurry back. It isn't April Fool's Day without his little jokes. But I'm doing my best. I left another over there.
Yes, I see it. It's very funny. You hung Mr. Bracken up, too, with a sign saying, kick me. But he is dead. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's 3 a.m. on Arkham Island. In the distance, the lights of the Trigate Bridge are reflected in the waters of the Myagani Channel. Dr. D drops from the window with the broken catch and moves across the yard to the security fencing. He climbs it with ease. The razor wire at its top doesn't hurt him. The amulet protects him from harm. He's now on the road leading to the island's medical facility. A car is approaching with what looks like a woman at the wheel. Probably a nurse arriving for the graveyard shift. Dee steps into the road. He levels the pistol at the oncoming car. It slows to a halt.
Unlock the passenger door!
Don't hurt me!
Turn off the music. Hello.
What do you want?
I'm going to find my ruby. You're gonna drive me. I'll tell you where to stop. Turn the car around. Go back over the westward bridge.
But I...
Trust me. I'm a doctor.
As the car speeds into the night, darkness falls once more. From Gotham to Manhattan, people are asleep. Millions move through their particular scaries of the dreaming. One of them is a Justice League agent, a successor to those who tracked down Dr. Destiny and brought him to Arkham. Although he now resides in New York City, he was born the son of Isaiah Highfather, the ruler of the world New Genesis. But his childhood was spent as a hostage of Highfather's nemesis, Darkseid, the tyrant of New Apocalypse, and he was raised in the terror orphanage of Granny Goodness. Each night he dreams he is a child again, escaping her clutches.
I flee past gray borders, down the darkling road to long shadows. I skirt the fire pits and lose myself in the heart of the Armageddon. But it doesn't matter where I go. All roads lead back to Granny.
Happiness is the heart that's Granny's. Rip out your heart for Granny. Granny loves you.
Granny loves me. So she has them bind me in chains, encase my feet in concrete. She wraps me tight in her love and her voice, ties me tight with steel and granite. I've been a bad little boy. I said a bad thing. I left her. And this is what they do to bad little boys. They put them in the murder machine. I leave the coffin behind me. I sidestep the knives, leap through the flames. The bomb explodes, but I am not where I was. The floor vanishes. I do not fall into the acid pit. I reach the womb, the exit, the box. It's the last trap. Somehow I know that. The last exit. All I have to do is type my name, my real name, my true name, and the door will open, and I will be scot-free.
Oh, no!
My friends Zepp and Bravo and Weldon hang here in warning, lowlies who never escaped the Armageddon, the black blood of a bygone decade crusted on their necks. Aurelie hangs there. Sweet Aurelie, my first love. Her feet burned away, and her eyes churning with maggots.
What do I call you? Scot Free?
Not Scot Free. Scot Free was just Granny's joke.
What is your name, my love?
I don't know my name.
And now I'm gonna die. I'm falling into the pit. The blades pointing upward, waiting for me.
It's over, child. I have caught you. You can wake up now.
I open my eyes on a strange room, and for a moment I don't know where I am. The disorientation passes. It is a bedroom in the JLI Embassy in Manhattan, a long way from Apocalypse. It was only a dream. But if it was only a dream... What are you doing here?
Morpheus, the Lord of Dreams, stands at the foot of the bed.
Who are you?
I am a friend. You are seeking your true name, Scot Free, and I have come to reclaim something of mine. A ruby.
Turn left here.
Listen, Buster. I'm warning you. You lay a finger on me, I'll... So help me, you try anything. My husband's a mafia hitman. He'll kill you, so don't even think it. Don't... Oh, God. Don't kill me.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. It's just that... Sorry.
You, escaping from prison?
No. From Arkham. The madhouse?
Oh, Jesus.
My mother died last week. She was very old. That was when I knew I had to get away from that place.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say, why aren't you, you know, wearing anything?
They took my clothes away. They were scared I'd kill myself. Hang myself with a shirt, perhaps.
Aren't you cold?
Yes, very cold.
Well, there's an old coat of Harry's, my husband's, in the back. Why don't you put it on? You must be freezing.
A coat? That's very nice of you. I'd like to wear a coat. Thank you.
In the Justice League Operations Center, Scott brings up archive files in the JLI computer.
Okay, I think we found your ruby. Should be up on screens any second. Here you go. Taken from some psycho calling himself Dr. Destiny. He was using it to affect people's dreams, make nightmares real, that kind of thing. It was kept in the trophy room on the satellite.
Where is this satellite?
Well, it's space junk. Destroyed.
And my ruby?
Could have been destroyed. Could have been moved to the Detroit Fortress or the Secret Sanctuary or...
You don't know?
Not a clue.
Somebody must know.
Yeah. Is this kind of thing going to happen every time I stay here overnight? No, don't answer that. Let me see. Batman? Nah, it's 3:30 a.m. He'll be at work. Who else was in the old jail? Oh, got it! Let's go wake him up.
What's your name?
Rosemary.
Rosemary? That's for remembering.
So, what should I call you?
I used to call myself Destiny, Dr. Destiny. It wasn't my name. My mother called me John. Johnny boy, dream boy. I was a real doctor, not a medical one, a scientist one. Now, I'm just Dr. D, Dr. John D.
John, I've got some sandwiches and a lunch pail behind my seat if you're hungry.
No. No, thank you. I'm never very hungry anymore.
Look, John, I'm a nurse. You can tell me. I won't freak. Is it the big A?
Big A?
AIDS.
Helpers?
AIDS, you know, the disease. Is that why you look like you do? Where have you been for the last 5 years?
Locked up, in darkness, in a maximum security cell in the basement of Arkham.
Oh, I should have... I'm sorry.
They put me there and they forgot about me.
John, who's this they you keep talking about? The police? Did you kill people?
No. I did foolish things. Things to gravity, to identity. I traded their faces with their enemies. I pretended I was of their number.
Who, John?
The costumes, the heroes, the Justice League of America.
I remember them. They've changed now. They're international with, you know, embassies and stuff. Now I think they're called the JLI.
As you say. It was a long time ago.
He might be asleep.
He's not asleep.
Scott, do you know what time it is? I hope this is important.
Yeah, sorry. I know it's nearly four, John, but you're the only member of the old JLA who's still around. We've got a visitor.
Good morning.
You, Lord Lazorl, I greet you humbly.
John Johns, the Justice League of America's Martian Manhunter, drops to his knees upon sight of the Lord of Dreams, whose name and appearance change according to the beholder. To Johns, Morpheus appears as the great fiery Martian deity, Lord Lazorl, because any possible name for any dream god will attach itself to dream. But in truth, none of them, not even Morpheus, are his names. Dream is not a name. It is a function. None of the Endless truly have names.
And protect us in dreams and from the flame of your wrath.
A Martian? I thought your kind were eons gone.
I am the last of my race.
I seek my dreamstone. A ruby, last Martian. It was known to your kind as D'Orala, the Stone of Binding. It was taken from a human and kept as a souvenir. Where is it now?
What happened to the old JLA's trophies, John?
That stuff? It's in storage. I thought it would be good to put it on display somewhere, but it's kind of hokey.
Where?
A warehouse, upstate Gotham. Little town called Mayhew. I can get you the exact address.
There is no need. I thank you, last Martian. If you wish, you may dream of the city of Focative Mirrors.
Thank you, Lord Lazorl.
I thank you both. And I hope you find your name scot-free.
Thanks.
Good night.
Who was that?
An old god. A very old god. Come, Scott-free. Let us hit the kitchen. I have a secret stash of Oreos of which you are welcome to partake.
Mother said, if you are going to be a criminal, John, you are not going to bring shame on the family name. I had to change it. I called myself Destiny. D is for destiny. Now Mother's dead, it doesn't matter anymore. Now I can be D again. D is for lots of things. Death, dust, darkness, demons.
Yeah, well, speaking as a mother of two little girls, John, if either of them announced they wanted to be master criminals, I'd tell them to change their names. Make a change from telling Amy and Jesse to tidy up their rooms, I suppose.
I'm not a black magician.
I didn't say you were, John.
I know, not you, the others, scientists. I'm an hermetic philosopher. And a scientist, too, truly. If I wasn't a scientist, I couldn't have done what I did to the ruby. Do you know what dreams are made of, Rosemary Kelly?
Made of? They're just dreams.
No, they aren't. People think dreams aren't real because they aren't made of matter, of particles. Dreams are real. But they are made of viewpoints, of images, of memories and puns and lost hopes. The ruby seems to turn them into matter. It forces them to translate themselves into forms we can recognize in this world. It also controls dreams in their raw state. Your dreams, anybody's dreams. I don't know where Mother got the ruby from. She had a lucky charm as well. She wouldn't give me that. Not while she lived. I built machines that the ruby powered. Then I built the machines in my dreams. But they stopped me dreaming. So I had to use the ruby directly. I coded circuitry into its clasp. I changed its resonance. I irradiated it. I forced flaws. I isolated it from its original power source. Whatever or whoever that was, I made it more real. I changed it. It isn't a ruby, really. It's a solid dream. It's the only dream I have. Nobody else can use it anymore. Nobody but me. And we're close to it now. I want to drink its light, to drink the light of my ruby.
That signpost just said Mayhew 5 miles.
Huh?
Is that where we're going?
I am a passenger. I am moving through your dreams, all your dreams. I am riding in your dreams. I ride on Dragonback from Manhattan. The dragon is made of riveted iron and smells of cotton candy. I travel briefly by bus, where this dreamer copulates desperately, not noticing his autonomous passenger. I sit at the front by the driver. His head is a pumpkin. He smokes a cigar. I know him. Approaching the state of Delaware, the dreamer is a small dog, dreaming impatiently of a past life, long forgotten, when he sailed tall ships across uncharted seas. The salt spray of the ocean stings my face. I am moving through dreams, pulling toward the town of Mayhew, feeling for my stolen jewel. Through your dreams, my sleeping children, you had a passenger, and you never knew.
Hello? Somebody here? Hey!
I am here.
Oh, okay, mister. It's a little early in the year for trick-or-treat.
Is this the only storage facility in Mayhew?
Sure is. What's in the bag?
Sleep.
The warehouse is clean and well kept, as befits a storage facility devoted to artifacts collected by the Justice League of America, many of them lethal. Dream walks into a maze of anonymous packing cases, punctuated by larger curiosities, a pipe organ, a decommissioned android, a giant playing card with a Joker's head upon it, huge keyholes, an ancient totem pole, and a collection of innocent-looking umbrellas. He is drawn forward by an impulse which brings him to a packing case at the rear of the facility.
Yeah.
Resting inside on a bed of straw is a ruby, the Dreamstone.
At last. Here you are.
But the power of the Dreamstone has somehow altered. What should be a familiar and welcome surge of energy, restoring the Lord of Dreams to his full potential, is draining him instead. Drained of the modest life force which has sustained him since his escape, Dream slumps to the floor, curled in a fetal position.
Could this be right? There's a guard over there.
He's asleep.
You're right.
Yes. I'm sure this is the place.
Okay, John. Listen, I hope it all goes okay, you know? John, keep the coat. Harry won't mind, and I'd hate to think of you wandering around freezing. And get help, okay?
Thank you, Rosemary. Rosemary, your husband, Harry, is he really a mafia hitman?
Harry? God, no. It was just something I said when I was, you know, scared you were a dangerous crazy or something. Harry's a high school teacher.
Oh. Well, I don't suppose it would have made any difference either way.
Dr. D enters the warehouse. He sees a dark shape lying at the far end of a canyon of packing cases. Beside it, something glowing red. He picks up the Dreamstone.
Hello, my baby. Did this naughty man try to use my baby? He didn't know that you were mine these days. Oh, mine, every glint and facet.
Leaving Dream's unconscious body in the warehouse, Dr. D carries the ruby back outside.
Noisy. Oh, baby. You feel even more powerful than before. Where did the extra energy come from? Have you been fickle? Have you been with someone else? It doesn't matter, darling. We're together again. That's all that counts.
He walks down the road, carrying the Dreamstone toward the lights of a narrow strip of commercial properties which comprises downtown Mayhew.
So go, my little love. Touch the world. Eat their hearts and poison their dreams. Rip their nightmares into the daylight and scum their sleep with creeping fear.
Only the lights in Mayhew's all-night diner are on.
Huh? Ah, yes. Hello, miss. I would like a cup of coffee while I wait.
Sure, hon. That'll be 50 cents. What are you waiting for?
Oh, you know, the usual. The end of the world.